The Inflation Reduction Act includes a number of incentives to companies and individuals to build and buy electric vehicles. For auto manufacturers, those incentives include sourcing their parts and raw materials domestically. And that presents challenges for some communities, notably in northern Minnesota, where Fred DeSam-Lazaro reports there has been a rise in permit applications for new mines.
Okay, yellow!
From carnival games to the parade down Main Street, the annual Hay Days Festival in Tamarack, population 62, is meant to be fun, a chance for neighbors to get caught up, a chance for kids to pick up candy that's sure to pour out of the parading vehicles. This year, two of those vehicles are all-electric Teslas, each bearing sharply conflicting messages that cut to the heart of the escalating tension in this region over whether to extract nickel, a mineral currently seeing strong demand in the electric vehicle market.
Many people in northern Minnesota proudly boast that it was iron ore extracted from the ground here that fed America's steel industry, that built the country, that helped it win two world wars. The question today is whether this region can play a similar role in the transition to a post-fossil fuel age.
So this is one of the highest samples I've ever seen, and certainly the highest sample I've ever held.
Brian Goldner is a geologist for Talon Metals, a mining company that has unearthed samples of high-grade nickel from deep below land it has leased just north of Tamarack.
These samples run about 9% nickel. And to put that into perspective, high-grade nickel is considered to be essentially 1% and above.
So this is a big deal.
Talon Metal says it already has an agreement to supply Tesla with the nickel from here.
We need a lot more nickel for the transition from a fossil fuel-centered energy system to a mineral-centered energy system.
Spokesman Todd Malin says Talon's 60-acre mine, to be built under the ground where we were standing, would create more than 400 union jobs. That's welcome news for Lisa Rudstrom, a former science teacher and lifelong resident of an area where the iron ore-based economy has declined in recent decades, along with the domestic steel industry it supplies.
The potential I see are new roofs and new sidewalks and new schools and vibrant arts opportunities and vibrant communities, happy people, healthy people.
Just how healthy is the key question. Unlike iron mining, extracting nickel ores, which also contain copper, cobalt, and platinum, produces acid byproducts. This sulfide mining has a toxic legacy across the world, including mines owned by Rio Tinto, the Anglo-Australian company and joint venture partner here with Talon Metals.
There is that legacy and that history that we're carry as a burden.
But Malin insists things will be different here, an area dotted with its share of Minnesota's nearly 12,000 lakes.
We can take different approaches. We can use innovative approaches. We can design things differently.
For example, he says a tunnel boring machine will lay a pipe that will protect the groundwater table as it drills further down to reach the buried metals. Water pumped out at this deeper level would be contained in steel tankers and treated before being released above ground into nearby waterways. The ores themselves would be loaded inside a sealed building onto covered rail cars and transported to a processing site in North Dakota, far from this freshwater-rich area.
So it's not that we have zero impact, it's that we have ways to mitigate those impacts and protect the things that are the most important, which in this region is water and the flora and fauna that depends on that water.
It's all just pie in the sky types of statements being made. You can tell me that this is safe, but I don't believe it at this point.
Oh, I love it here.
Melanie Benjamin is chief executive of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. She says the proposed mine would be one more example of extractive industry that has devastated tribal lands. There are some 160,000 abandoned mines on or near native lands in the western U.S. alone. The Minnesota mine would be close to the tribe's water source, and Benjamin says it would also threaten the sacred harvest of wild rice that grows in lakes here.
We're talking about our people, our plants, our animals, the water that flows throughout. We do know from all the data that this mining is probably the most toxic mining that there is.
I remember as a kid walking through here. And
among the tribe's allies in this region are Tom and Lynn Anderson, who live on Round Lake, just a few miles from the proposed mine site.
They're pulling, Talon admits, up to 2.3 million gallons, it's likely more, out of the mine. And that's going to have an effect on the aquifers, well levels, lake levels.
The Andersons founded a group called the Tamarack Water Alliance. They say that even the exploratory drilling has shown damaging environmental impact. Shanai Mattison, another member of the group, showed us this drone video filmed by a local resident.
They have what are called sumps, where they put those drilling fluids. The trees nearby, you can start to see that the trees around the sumps are dying. That, to me, really speaks to the danger of this type of mining. It is high-grade nickel, but that's also high sulfide. And the interaction between that high sulfide and water and air creates acid.
Talon Metal says the trees died because their roots were inadvertently choked under soil dug up to build the sumps. Critics say the cause could be both suffocation and toxic sulfides, noting that the company has not lined the sumps to prevent toxins from seeping into groundwater.
We have a loss of less than 30 acres of wetlands.
Todd Malin says his company is in compliance with Minnesota regulations and is currently compiling data the critics have demanded, which he says will be disclosed as part of the years-long permitting process.
It's frustrating sometimes to have people not like the legacy approaches and then don't like the innovative approaches either.
America's got a great dilemma.
Al Zidane is a former editor of the Northern Minnesota newspaper Hibbing Tribune.
We need the materials. We don't want to mine them. So what do? Do we export our mining needs to other countries where they won't have good environmental standards? Is that a good idea? Is that what America does?
Indonesia, the Philippines, and Russia are the world's top producers of nickel, although the U.S. currently imports most of its needs from Canada, Norway, and Australia. If developed, the Tamarack mine would contribute only a fraction of current U.S. needs. Just what that need will be in the future is another point of contention back in Tamarack, in the tale of the two Teslas. While many EVs, like the one owned by Talon Metals, use batteries containing nickel, a growing number, including the Tesla owned by mining opponent Lynn Anderson, now use lithium iron phosphate batteries, which contain no nickel.
By the time this mine gets its permits, which could be 10 years, the whole battery industry will be moving on.
Copper sulfides.
Talon Metals says nickel will see sustained demand, citing high market prices for it and two federal grants totaling $134 million it has received to help increase domestic production here and in nearby Upper Michigan, where the only operating nickel mine on U.S. soil is expected to be exhausted by 2027. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Fred DeSamlazaro in Tamarack, Minnesota.
And Fred's reporting is a partnership with the Undertold Stories Project at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota.